This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and love and excited that you guys are here with me. I just love it. I really do. You know, we have such a dynamic, vast audience of thousands of people all over the globe who always contact us, email us, you know, just let us know, you know, like what's going on, how they like the podcast, you know, what they like to see in the future. And the majority of things that I really love about this podcast is a lot of times we don't hear even a lot of comments about, I wish you would have this on, I wish you would do this. Like most people say, it's exactly what I need that day. You know, it's exactly what, you know, I need. I was looking for, I got the answer to this and that. And I really love that because I always want to stay in tune with the Spirit to really know exactly in this powerful now moment exactly what can be displayed or unfolded in the dimension that we call now, and hopefully answer questions by just one podcast. And really, if you think about it, you know, we actually can answer thousands of questions, you know, because we begin to pick up on each other's spirits. You know, think about it. If everything is one, then we get the unity of the Spirit, one body, one Spirit, one Lord, you know, one baptism, then you realize that everything's one. So because of it, we can stay in tune with each other. We can tap in each other's spirit and say, I don't know why I'm going to talk about this today in the podcast, or I'm going to, you know, preach or teach on this, or I'm going to, you know, give a spiritual, you know, prophetic reading, you know, to this person. I just feel like it or whatever. And yet be right on the money with things, because we have to remember that in the Spirit, everything's one. And so because of that, we can tap in at any given moment. We choose to be able to really awaken to the reality of the now moment. Now, when your mind is boggled down with life and problems and kids and this and this and this and worry about dinner, then you're not really present. You're not really tapping into the now moment, the now reality that really is beckoning us to come up hither. You know, to come, and it's not even hither in the sense of higher, because the spirit realm doesn't have a higher low. What it's calling you is come up deeper. Come into the place of inwardness. Come into the place of awakening. Come inside, which means outside of the world of situations and problems. And, you know, like the Bible says, you know, to come out from among them and be separate. You know, then there's another one that says, don't go by what you see or feel, which basically is saying anything you can see, feel, touch, or situation outside of you, that's what it is. It will bring a delusion to your mind. It'll bring a delusion to your reality. It'll begin to really, you know, sort of shut down some things about you that actually, you know, that won't allow you to really see the power of now. And that's the beautiful thing about the kingdom, is knowing that, you know, I can always turn inwardly. I can always close my eyes. I can always say, you know what? Be still and know, Jeremy, that He is God. I can be still, and all of a sudden things begin to sort of happen with inside of me. And so today, that's what I want to talk about for a little bit. I want to basically talk about some things that deal with learning how to begin to know what to do with what you have, knowing what to do with where you are, knowing what to do right now. And I said all that because I wanted you to begin to understand today that a lot of times in a person's life, we have so many things that boggle our mind. I mean, think about it. Life is shifting. If everything in the universe is energy, that means energy can't be created nor can it be destroyed, right? We learned that from science. And so imagine this amazing, you know, God that we serve that really is letting you know that everything is constantly flowing. I mean, Bible says, in Him you live, you move, you have your being. There's a movement there, you know. The book of Acts, you know, the Holy Spirit just came in like a rushing wind. Action, you know, energy, movement. You're seeing it all through the Bible even. And yet what's interesting about this that I really love is, you know, the Bible itself is good enough, right? We get that because it's powerful and it's the Word of God. However, you can look into other religions. You can look at other, you know, theologies. You can look at any type of sort of sect in the world, and you'll find the exact same thing. You will find references to energy. Did you guys know? This is just food for thought. But once again, if you're very religious and sanctimonious, and you just can't hear anything outside of the Bible, then you don't see God in all things. And the God of the Word says, and He says it very plain, you know, that by Me and for Me and without Me, there is not anything made that was made. So If you want to chunk out the scriptures and cherry pick what you want to believe and keep your little box in a God and us four no more in a box, hey, you know what? More power to you. Have fun with it. But there will come a day one day when you will get tired of that. And there'll come a day one day when you feel like, oh my God, where are you? And God's like, I'm right here. You know? And so when you get exhausted, religious folks, when you get exhausted of trying to find God, you know, then, you know, hey, give me a call. We'll talk. Give me a call and we'll talk about it, and I'll put your mind to rest to say, wow, oh my goodness, God is all in all, isn't he? I'm like, yep, took us that long to discover that, right? So my point being with that is, once again, religious people, hang on to your hats. But those who are open-minded, those who really know the power of the Spirit, understand the fullness that God is all in all, this is what this says, basically, is that you can go back to Hinduism and realize that one of the Hinduism is actually, I mean, a lot older than Christianity. Hold on, people, it's older than Judaism. And yet, you know, and even though we're like, we're not Hindu, here's the key thing though. Even thousands of years ago, they understood the concept of energy and motion. Crazy as it sounds. Egypt. Think about Egypt. There are actually old manuscripts of Egypt that refer to things such as energy. You know, and it describes it to a T. You can look at pyramids in Mexico. I mean, I've been to these places. Let me just tell you something. I have been to these places. This is not something I'm just happen to look up on the Google, you know, map or the Google, as though people call it. It's the Google. You know, I didn't just read one person's thing. I have been to these places. I have witnesses. I've seen them. I've talked to locals. And I've talked to historians from there. And I'm not talking about historians from America that say, hey, you know, I went to Cambridge and I studied this, you know, great, good for you. But let me tell you something. I've been there, done that, and I got the t-shirt. I spoke to people who've been there that actually can go back into the lineage and generations of historical books that have been so sacred within their culture and their own religion. And this is what they've said, that energy is ancient. It's old. People way back in the day, thousands of years ago, understood that. The pyramids in Mexico, pyramids all over the globe, even in Egypt, because there are some pyramids in Mexico, just for those that don't know, all right? You got Chichen Itza and so many of the different ones, which I've been to, which you can look and understand the fact that there are precise measurements down to the half an inch, whatever, of how pyramids were formed, in the sense of knowing when the sun would shine on it, shining only in a specific, down to the spot of where it needed to be shown. I mean, it's crazy. So here's where we have to realize. People back in the day, folks, they were smart. They were smart. People in the days of the Bible and stuff and all have always been very barbaric, yes. However, there have been certain groups of people throughout history, thousands of years ago, that were borderline probably geniuses, probably more than we are, because they understood things far beyond we're just now discovering. You know? And so with all that said, you know, when people say, oh, energy, light, vibration, oh, that's so new age, I want to say, please come out from among America and be separate. Come out from among, you know, your ignorance and your lack of understanding, because you make yourself sound really dumb. I love you. I respect you. But you're making yourself sound so dumb. And I'm not saying that ugly, but it's just true, because it's almost funny to so many historians and so many theologians that really understand this stuff, and also it sounds funny to the world. It sounds funny to people to say, oh my gosh, you guys won't even accept something that's been around for centuries, and yet even science thousands of years later is backing it up. And so I'm like, hey, you know what? You know, like Jesus said, there'll always be poor among you. Here's my thinking. There'll always be the ignorant among you that never want to learn. They'll write off things that I understand. They'll write off as New Age, and yet they have no clue what New Age even is. You know, anything outside of the Bible is going to be New Age, you know? And I'm like, you haven't read the Aramaic, obviously, because if that's the case, then the Bible is New Age, and Jesus was the biggest New Age guru ever, because the Aramaic just explains and brings all of this into play, speaks more about energy, speaks more about vibration, speaks more about that than any language on earth. And I'm like, okay, folks, something is missing. So here's where we have to come to this understanding today of realizing the alignment of energy, the understanding of the now moment, realizing that we are in this moment. And what happens is we've got to begin to find that vibration. What does that mean? What does it look like? It means we've got to learn to be still and know that He's God. We've got to begin to understand that everything external from me is actually energy and motion and movement, always trying to connect me to vibrations, always trying to connect me to some kind of plan. If vibration scares you, you know, so sorry, we'll make it a little easier for you. Always trying to connect me to some type of, you know, plan or situation, whatever word you want to, that makes you feel good, we'll say that. All right, okay? I don't really worship words, nor do I really have the power in a word per se, you know, so I'm not picky about that. But if you are, no problem. Seriously, no problem. I'm cool with that. We'll say plan, situation, whatever. But the truth is, everything's vibrational. And everything external from you is always trying to get you to almost like impregnate you to get hooked up. You know, I know that sounds like a slang thing to say, hey, let's hook up, you know, tonight. And we don't like that, do we? But the key thing is, let's just be real about it. Energy's all around you, vibrations are all around you, and they're beckoning you to hook up with them. That's basically the truth of it. And it's, and how it hooks up with it is by your attention. It grabs your attention. You know, we could say it's an attention grabber. It's waiting on you to get to the sound of that beat. It's waiting on you to just lock yourself in to the motion. And how do we do that? We do that simply by actually giving a thought to something outside of our peace, outside of anything else. And yet when we tap into a peace, peace represents nothing missing, nothing broken. That's where the word shalom mean, you know, comes from. The word Jerusalem, that's why they say shalom to one another, because they're actually decreeing and declaring peace over each other, you know, because of all the things that's been going on. So really they're decreeing and declaring and prophesying over each person, hey, peace over you. Nothing's missing in your life, nothing broken. Hey, same to you, shalom, nothing missing for you either, you know. And it's a beautiful story of declaration, you know. And so my point being with all this is understanding the level of what are you hooking up with? You know, because if you want to be able to truly live in the now moment, to be able to really find your peace and really understand that, you know what, right now I can be able to find a download from God. I can discover things in the spirit realm right now. And all I need to do is, and here's what you got to do. Okay, here's what you got to do. And this is, I'm going to give you a misconception and a good conception that you need to think about. Because I don't really want to say this is wrong, this is right per se, but I'll say this to you. You know, when people say, oh brother, you just got to speak in tongues for a while. Wrong answer. That's not even biblical. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you speak in tongues, you're gonna get a breakthrough and get a download from God. That's not biblical. Now, hey, you know what? I pray in the Spirit a lot, you know, but I don't make it my God, nor do I make it my my have to in the sense of legalism. I do it when I want to and I enjoy doing it, period. Because I love praying in the Spirit. However, you know what? I also love praying. I also love meditation. I also love being able to be still. My point being with this situation is when you begin to understand this is not a legalistic thing. It's not a three-step thing to learn your peace or three-step thing to get in the now moment. One, and what is usually what everyone said the past maybe 100 or 200 years? Hey, you know, whatever you want to do, let's get truthful about it, guys. If you want peace, here's your three steps. If you want a new job, here's your three steps. If you want this, here's the three steps. And what are those three steps usually? Read the Bible, pray, and fast. That's pretty much, you know, read the Bible, pray, and fast. As if these three are magic tricks that answer all the questions of life, you know? And really, we should pray, and we should read the Bible. However, many people don't understand that they need to become the Bible. They need to become the Word. You are a Word from the Word. Jesus being the big W, you're the small W. You know, knowing that you need to become the Word. Transformation, transforming by the renewing of your mind. When you renew your imagination, when you renew the fact of reading and studying, and then you allow that to saturate you, and then you begin to eject everything externally from you, and you begin to go inwardly, and you understand the power of your spiritual senses. You understand the power of who you are as a temple. You understand the power of the everything is vibrating. What am I vibrating to? What is my vibration saying? What is it in my heart that it's beating right now? Because that is exactly what I am connecting to. And to be honest with you, I will connect to something outside of me. Unfortunately, the good thing is you will, because you want to attract things of positivity, but you want to attract things that God has for you in His will. You want to attract the good things of life. That's why you focus on things that are good. And in fact, it doesn't even say holy. Not that you should, because you should focus on things holy. But it says, you know, good report, praiseworthy. You know, if it was up to some Christians nowadays, it'd be like they would rewrite the scriptures. This is what they would say. They would say, ponder on things that are holy and spirit-filled and Pentecostal holiness. Focus on things that are charismatic. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably do that, you know? Focus on things that are warfare-like. Focus on things where you're slinging your sword and the devil's fleeing. That's probably what some people would do. And I'm like, oh, brother, the drama in the church today, what are we going to do with them? I call them drama queens. Sorry, but it's like a bunch of drama queens. I'm like, chill, be still. You know, come on, come down from, you know, from this thing, this hype thing that you're not really realizing is not biblical, you know? I know I'm on a roll today, guys. I'm just having fun with all of you guys. You know that. Love everyone. So the key thing here is understanding that, you know, it's things that are praiseworthy, things that are of good report, things that sound good, things that actually make you laugh, things that make you feel good. That's what it's saying. Things that are praiseworthy, you know? And so it's not saying to you, and don't get me wrong, pray. Hey, obviously, sometimes you got to pray, sometimes you got to bind and loose, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. However, that sometimes can also alter a little bit of your peace unless you know how to truly be effective within it, which most people I've seen, unfortunately, do not know how. But when you begin to enter into the state of being of peace, let me give you a great example. I love the word consciousness. It's a great word. You know why? Because it's not new age. Because if it's new age, then your mind is totally new age. You can rebuke it. It's never going to happen unless you're dead, because you're brain dead, right? Because we have a conscious and a subconscious. That's just life. It's science, medical. We all know that. And so, therefore, because of that, you have to think to yourself, you know, I need to understand that my conscious mind needs to be able to imagine and focus on things that are eternal, but also things that are not external, but things that are actually internal. If I really want to focus on eternity, then I need to focus on internalizing or going inside myself, because eternity is found inside of me. When people say, I can't wait to, you know, to walk into, step into eternity, I'm like, are you dead now? I'm not understanding. Eternity has nothing to do when you die. Eternity has nothing to do when you die. Oh, he's in eternity now. Well, where was he before? You know, I mean, you know, we're in eternity right now. Did you know that? If you study the original language, even within the Hebrew, and even the Greek backs this up. But the amazing thing is the Hebrew and the Aramaic are so fascinating, because eternity is not a end result where I'm going to. You know, it's like destiny. I'm in destiny right now. I'm in eternity right now. I've always been in. Eternity doesn't hold a time frame. If eternity held a time frame, then that means the moment you die, then God says, let there be, and eternity just starts right then. It doesn't work that way, folks. Eternity always has been. God's the same yesterday, day, and forever. That's eternity is the same way. Eternity has no time. So I'm in eternity right now. I'm not dead, I'm alive. Right? So I'm in eternity right now. So once you understand, if you want to step into eternity, then you've got to begin to step inwardly to find eternity. Because right now, when you focus external, what happens is you step basically into a time of delusion, because I got to be at work at 12, I got to eat at 10, I miss my appointment at 5, and all that only applies to this planet. It only applies. I mean, you can even go outside the planet to the galaxies, and you will see where people say, what, this is like 1,000 light years away, because it's faster, it's further away than even light can travel. I mean, think about that, folks. So really, time really is only relevant in reality to us here on earth. And yet, what do we do every day? We are so planted, impregnated by time, which I understand we should be. You know, we don't want to say, hey, you know, we're going to go to dinner at 6:00 p.m. and all of a sudden you show up at midnight and they're already going home and they're going to be mad at you, and you're like, oh, well, time should be no more for me. Well, that's a little ridiculous, right? So we have to begin to step into that light, step into the place where we truly, fully understand, if I want to be able to truly be into the eternals, I need to go inwardly, because that's where eternity will be found. Outside of me shall be found the time. Inside of me is where time shall be no more. Because why? Because I'm learning to live in the now moment, the now reality, where I can connect to something vibrational, which means I can connect to the things God wants me to. I can learn to silence myself, silence my mind, and step into the now reality and feel and see and understand more than I've ever done in my whole entire life, because the now moment is always eternal. Yesterday is not eternal. Tomorrow is not eternal. The now moment is the eternal now moment. Now will always be here. The nowness will always be here. When you step into your nowness and you allow time to be no more, And which means you step out of your mind for a moment into inside yourself, like in your spirit pretty much. And we're not talking about some, you know, hundo shundo. We're not talking about some, you know, voodoo. You know, we're talking basically just go inside yourself. Shut out what everything is out external from you. When you do, you take a deep breath and you find yourself into the eternity of God. You step into the place of peace. You step into the place where situations external doesn't hold a candle to this. It doesn't hold you down. It doesn't keep you in a place where you're like, oh, I'm so worried. If you're worried about something, go inside yourself. Go into eternity. Find that now moment and say, you know what, right here, it's not an escapism mentality. It's not burying my head in the sand. It's just finding the peace that has always been in me because I've given you all things that have pertained to life and godliness, and that peace is inside of me. And so because the peace is inside of me, I don't have to worry or fear, because the moment I go inside, everything external from my mind, my consciousness, just dissolves. Think about that. If you think of what is on your mind of a situation of worry and fear and fret and oh my gosh, guess what it does? It just sends signals to your body over and over again. Send signals to your body over and over again and just says, oh my goodness, I'm worried. Okay, well, let's worry. Let's get that blood pressure a little higher. Let's go ahead and start shaking. Let's go ahead and, sick to your stomach. Let's go ahead and, you know, do whatever it takes, because we got to put ourselves into survival mode and react. Why? Because the brain is telling me to do so. Instead, you step out of the mind and you get into the renewal part of it, where you know what, you transcend past that and you move into the place to say, be still, Jeremy, and know. Step out of an unrenewed mind, because unrenewed mind holds and pretty much bows to situations and problems and everything else. And I gotta have this, I don't have this, what's wrong with me, my credit, my work, blah 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 blah. And all of a sudden you start waking up and realizing, you know what, I don't have to step into that all the time. I don't have to be in that all the time. I can actually go into the eternals. I can be in my now moment and just take a deep breath and say, you know what? Hey, this too is going to pass. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Because now will always be here for me. And as you do that, then all of a sudden you build up those spiritual muscles of peace, and all of a sudden it starts coming out of you, and then what starts beginning to answer the external part that's given you all the hell you're going through, guess what it does? Peace starts just permeating that slowly. It just starts permeating that slowly. One, because you're learning to be consumed with the peace of the now moment, consumed with the vibration of I'm in the wheel, everything is fine, everything is going to be great, because it is great. And all of a sudden it starts affecting the situation outwardly. And you're going to be able to answer it better, and you're going to see where it's going to dissolve more. Always remember this, folks. What you give your attention to empowers it and it grows. What you starve, you slowly shrivel up and dies. That's the key thing. Alright, so I wanted to share all this with you guys today. I'm really getting on this bandwagon this month, this season, of some really good juicy things. I really want you guys to be in tune, tell people, other people to join in. And don't forget, the book of the month this month is my book, Miracles, which is Science, Energy, and Wonders. Dynamic book, by the way. Next week, I will introduce the brand new book for the month, which I'm so thrilled about. And I'll just give you a hint. It might be called Universal Laws. Are they biblical? I'm just saying. And I might have a workbook with it. I'm just saying. So stay tuned next week as well. You guys, as always, go and create the day you want today. Live in the imagination of God. And if you don't like life, change it. Thoughts do become things. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.